Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm your host, Carol Murphy. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. And yeah, this is Art Walk Day here in Butte. We were just talking about the weather. It's somewhere around mid-80s, I believe. Just beautiful, beautiful Montana summer weather. And today we have a great guest, Rebecca McGee of Eileen Fisher. And in just a moment, Rebecca will be back and tell you all about what she's up to. So thanks for listening. We'll be right back. This is Heartstock. It didn't say This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm your host, Carol Murphy, and we have a great guest lined up for this evening, and her name is Rebecca McGee. She's the manager of social innovation and entrepreneurship at Eileen Fisher. And Rebecca, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Please give our listeners just a little introduction about what you do at Eileen Fisher and maybe a little history of Eileen Fisher. The company has been around for a good number of years and had different iterations. So please share with our listeners.
Sure. So Eileen Fisher is a women's clothing company based in New York. We were founded in 1984 by our founder, Eileen. And at the company, I am the, as you mentioned, the manager of social innovation and entrepreneurship. I sit on our social consciousness team, which is similar to a corporate social responsibility team. And I joined about 6 years ago, just over 6 years ago. And at the company, I would say that in general, my work tends to focus on responsible business practices. So what are we doing at the company to both do environmental and human rights practices and innovate at the intersections of those? And so that's looked like everything from an education program for our employees to a few of the initiatives I'll be talking about tonight.
Yes, and there's so much history and interesting background that I hope that we can touch on. But before we go down that road, let's talk a little bit more about your story and where you grew up, what may have influenced you to work at Eileen Fisher here and now.
Yeah. So I grew up in New Orleans. That's where my family's been for quite some time. And I'm one of four kids. We all ended up equally passionate about social justice and environmental justice issues, which really is still a mystery. I'm not quite sure how we all ended up really caring about these issues, both because we all came into it through very different paths, but also because we just didn't grow up spending a lot of time outside or in nature. But sustainability in the environment is something that's really important to my family.
Do you think your parents had something to do with that? I mean, when you think about when you first started realizing we need to be more sustainable in business, was that when you were really that young? Someone in your family made you think?
You know, I think the very first experience of it for me was in science fair, really. It was starting in middle school and then continuing through high school. And I started to really get into it and was picking projects that were focused on climate change at the time. And I did that really just through flipping through a textbook, looking for something that felt really relevant and practical. Living in Louisiana, especially if you're in New Orleans, which is like right on the Mississippi River, you really do have a very interesting dynamic with nature and really understanding its power. So I think the place really influenced it, but I think it was also the education that I had and some of the opportunities that came up through that.
So where did you go to school?
Yeah, I actually went to Ursuline, which has schools across the country, also called Ursuline, depending on where you're from. But it was founded in 1727. It's the oldest continually operating all-girls school in North America. And it was a Catholic school. So while I am not Catholic myself, there was definitely a social justice aspect to that education.
And what did you major in? And, you know, what were those influences and focuses that you had on sustainability specifically?
So both in high school and college. So I also went to a Catholic university. I was really focused on environmental issues. Mm. In college, I studied both history and environmental studies. History mostly just because I love learning, and environmental studies because I think that's where my burgeoning interests were. And I think when it first started to kind of coalesce into something around fashion or clothing was my senior year of college. I wrote my thesis on the cotton supply chain in the context of a sustainable agriculture class. And I will say that definitely if you can spend that amount of time focused on one topic and come out of it still enjoying it, I think you're onto something. Yeah.
So did you conclude that hemp is the best replacement for cotton? Can cotton be sustainable even?
You know, I think the best replacement for cotton or really any fiber is something that's not new, period. And, you know, you can debate that with a lot of different life cycle assessments, which is a tool that we use in the fashion industry. And there's still a lot of opportunity for us to get better data to be able to compare that. But at Eileen Fisher, we're both investing in organic and sustainable fibers, such as organic cotton or organic linen, but also reclaimed or recycled fibers as well, so that we're not using virgin materials.
So how and when did you begin working at Eileen Fisher? Was it something that you pursued, or tell us that story?
Yeah. So when I graduated college in 2008, which was not that long ago, but the aesthetics, the movement around sustainable fashion, even in this short period of time, you know, we're just over a decade, was so drastically different. You know, when I was doing that first paper in sustainable fashion, the image was really very like crunchy granola, sort of a hippie type of aesthetic. And so it really was only appealing to a small group of people. And, you know, it was a higher cost. It really didn't have the traction that the industry and movement now has. So I went a little bit of a roundabout path, worked in the nonprofit sector for a number of years, and then in 2013, finally found my way into the industry in my role at Eileen Fisher.
So since then, some of your focus has been on facilitating the B Corp certification. Can you please share with us just a little bit about that? And then we're going to move on to some of the other work that you're doing at Eileen Fisher.
Yeah. Just as a quick little definition in case listeners aren't familiar with what a certified B Corp is. It is a certification for companies through the nonprofit B Lab. And it basically is a seal of approval, which if you can pass the very high bar it sets, that says that your company is committed to doing right by people and planet. And so we're in really good company with other B Corps who really set really high standards for environmental and social practices, both within their company and then in their supply chains and with their customers as well. And so we became a certified B Corp in December 2015, so right at the end of that year. But we had actually, this is a fun fact, but we had actually taken the assessment years prior and had passed, but decided not to pursue it at that time. The energy wasn't quite there yet. But in 2015, by that point, we had initiated the year prior our sustainability goals, which we call Vision 2020. So we're coming up on a big milestone year next year. But it was really the momentum of, for the first time, really articulating our sustainability goals and putting a real clear plan in place that created a lot of energy within the company about finally pursuing that certification and really joining that community of other companies that might not be in fashion, but were really like-minded and shared our values.
And what was the impetus within Eileen Fisher to go down this path? And can you just give us a little brief history on that evolution?
In terms of the sustainability piece?
Yes, and then deciding to be a B Corp.
Yeah. You know, so Eileen Fisher, it's our founder's namesake company, and it is still privately owned. So Eileen owns the majority of the company, and then 40% of the company is actually an ESOP. So it's an employee shareholder program. But the benefit of that really has been that as Eileen has gone through her own personal journey around understanding her passion and also the opportunity she's had as a leader to really influence the industry. And a lot of it was just like personal experience. You know, when she went to one of the big moments for her was visiting our supply chain in China and getting to know those factories and seeing how far our reached was and the opportunity that we had. So she came back and in 2014 really said she wanted to make a commitment to increasing this, the sustainability work within the company. And that's not to say that it wasn't happening before. You know, the first time we had an organic cotton piece in our product line was in 2004. We were engaged in human rights conversations in the, you know, mid-1990s. This was work we had been doing for a long time, but it was really through her vision and her personal commitment to it that we could finally really put a stake in the ground and start accelerating that work. And that's where we started to get louder about the work that we were already doing and had been doing for a really long time.
And we're at about that halfway point. So in just a moment, we will be back and share more of your story. This is Heartstock. Thanks for listening. Heartstock. Thank you for listening. I'm Carol Murphy, your host, and our guest today is Rebecca McGee of Eileen Fisher. And hi again, Rebecca.
Hello.
Next, I was hoping that we could talk a little bit more about supporting women in environmental justice grant program that you have at Eileen Fisher and why you decided to go into the environmental justice realm with this.
Sure. So we just launched this new grant program this past May, and we're just reviewing the first cohort of applications that we've received. I was just reading applications today. And the new program really came from a couple of different places within the company. We have a very long history since our founding of supporting women and girls issues. That's really our bread and butter, really at the core of our business is really around helping women lead and feel comfortable and really step into their power. But at the same time, as I was mentioning, we launched these Vision 2020 goals in 2014. And in our supply chain work, we were really investing in these very innovative projects around human rights and environmental issues. And for a long time, that work has been happening separately. You know, the women and girls work has been happening in our charitable giving space. And we were really investing in environmental and human rights issues, both in our business practices, but especially in our supply chain. And so it felt like an opportunity really to begin to bridge those together. And so last year, we actually began researching to just start to understand what the connection might be between our work in the environment and our longstanding work around women and girls. And I don't think we could have anticipated what we were going to uncover, but during that research process of talking to experts, nonprofit partners, reading lots of reports, we discovered work that has actually been happening for quite some time, but very few people, including ourselves, were really unaware of, is that women around the world are disproportionately affected by climate change and environmental issues. And that's often grounded in the fact that they do tend to have a lower status in their communities and other existing vulnerabilities like access to resources, access to education or land rights. But it's also about even just having access to being a part of decision making, really making sure that they have a voice at the table when decisions are being made so that those solutions or those policies work for women too. And at the same time, so you see that women are both disproportionately at risk when it comes to climate change. We also know that they're uniquely positioned to address climate change because they do have this intimate firsthand experience of not only the, you know, these issues, but also they're already working on really creative, innovative solutions to address it. And they might not be thinking about it as, you know, a climate change resiliency solution. They might just be thinking about it as survival. And so for us, really understanding that there's this really amazing dynamic that's happening where if we can address gender equality and environmental justice together, not only are we going to be doing, you know, the powerful work of addressing those issues, but we're also going to be accelerating that, the progress towards those by looking at them together, that you really cannot have gender equality without addressing environmental justice and vice versa. And so that's really why we created the grant program.
And just what kind of women are you looking for to endow with these grants? What are their companies like?
Right. So for us, we're focused on funding nonprofits. And so we are specifically funding U.S.-based nonprofits, but the work can be happening around the world. And I think for us, and really is like very core to how we approach charitable giving, is really looking for that grassroots approach. We really want to see communities of women who are coming up with these ideas and then helping them to implement them. So rather than sort of a top-down approach, it's really about supporting the solutions that are already happening on the ground, and trusting that the women who are leading these initiatives really are those who are meant to be the leaders in these conversations. And so just giving them the resources that they need to step up and be a bigger part of the conversation.
And was this something that was devised by the social consciousness team, or how did you come up with this program?
Yeah. So our social conscious, one of the aspects of our social consciousness team is the company's charitable giving. And so we had been running a couple of different grant programs that had sort of run their course, and we were trying to figure out what was next. So it was myself and a couple of members of our team who led that research project. But this, in no way was this done alone. There were so many nonprofits that we spoke with, so many people who truly have expertise in this. You know, even though Eileen Fisher as a company is just getting involved in this intersection of women in the environment, we can't ignore the fact that there have been a lot of nonprofits, a lot of individuals who have known this and have been deeply working on the ground in these issues for a long time. But it's just, we felt like it was time to finally bring this awareness to more people. And we're honored to be a part of it.
So where do things go from here with the grant program? You're currently looking for grantees?
Yes. So we'll be selecting our grant recipients over the course of the next several months, and we'll be announcing them in early December. So look out for that. That'll be really fun. And I think for us, you know, this first grant cycle will really be about learning. We have a lot to learn as funders and really want to take in and have our grant applicants really teach us more about this issue area. But the next step for us as a company is really taking the same focus and using it as a lens to look at our sustainability goals, our business practices, our internal practices, and saying, where else is it that we can really address these two issues together so that we can accelerate and get closer to our goals?
And you're very into the circular economy at Eileen Fisher and collaborative work environments. Can you talk a little bit about, I don't know, we've got maybe about a couple minutes left. Which one of those would you like to talk about?
Well, I know most people always want to talk about our work in the circular economy, and it's one of my favorite parts of the company, so I can share a little bit about that work. We have a program called Renew. It was launched in 2009, and it's our clothing take-back program. So customers of Eileen Fisher can return their garments when they've finished wearing them, however many years it's been since they first bought them. And after they've returned them, we make sure that that garment goes on to a wonderful next life. So oftentimes that means that we're just cleaning and reselling the garment as is and helping it find a new home. But in other ways, because not all garments come back in the condition that we can sell them as is, we're looking for ways of turning those garments into brand new garments. And so we're experimenting a lot there with that. And since its launch, we've collected over 1 million garments and still coming in all the time. So it's a really big program. And I would say that that's where there's a ton of excitement and energy in our company around how to continue to grow that.
Would you like to talk about the felting process? Because that was one of the things that I got to see when I was there that it was very impressed with.
Yeah. So that program is called Waste No More, and it's been going on the circuit of a lot of architectural and interior design shows. And that is taking a lot of the holy wool sweaters and garments that can't necessarily be continued to wear, you know, in their original form, and cutting them into pieces and then felting multiple of those layers together and turning them into really beautiful home goods and art pieces. Yeah, so that's a really interesting initiative, and I know there's a lot of interest in it. I'm not sure that they're quite easy to get your hands on those pieces just yet, but they're really beautiful and something that we're really proud of too.
And that kind of circles back to what you were talking about at the beginning of the show, that fibers, any good fiber would never be a new fiber.
Yeah, I think, you know, for us at the heart of it is really thinking about like, what is our overall footprint? And when you look at the footprint and the impact of when you reuse something, you know, fashion is really unique in that we have to remember that it really is an agricultural product, right? Cotton, linen, wool, these are all coming from farms ultimately. And so when we reuse a fiber instead of sourcing something new, it's decreasing the water, the energy, the transportation resources, all of those many steps, the dyeing that happen in order to produce a new garment or a new fiber. So for us, the circular work really creates an opportunity for us to greatly reduce our footprint by investing in recycled and renewed fibers.
And it's so innovative and fun. Very beautiful. Are there other success stories since you've embarked really intensely on this sustainability journey of things that you are most proud of that you've accomplished? We've got like half a minute.
Yeah. Well, our Vision 2020 goals are wrapping up this year. We'll be making a lot of sharing our progress out next year. And so we're excited to do that. But you know what? We're almost at 100% organic cotton and 100% organic linen. You know, we're just at like 98%. So that's something that we're really proud of and has really been a team effort.
And how might our listeners reach out and connect with you?
Sure. The easiest way to learn about us more is eileenfisher.com. We're also at eileenfisherrenew.com if you want to learn about that program. And then we also have a presence on all the social media channels at eileenfisherny.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. It's been great, and I love the work that you're doing. This is Heartstock. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
No trespass. Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5 Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via live stream at butteamericaradio.org. That time with me.